Welcome back. Once again, you're here, another episode, Drinks with Friends, with your hosts, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Ray. Happy Sunday, guys.
Hey.
We also got our friend of the show, great friend of the show, Mr. Yo. Dan O.B. Picasso.
Hola.
Back again.
As usual, you know what it is, problematic black. Y'all might know what that means. That means we have something new to talk about.
Of course. Yeah. Of course we do. Of course we do. Let's pay these bills real quick.
Yep.
This podcast is brought to you by Andro DSM. Power up.
And Susie Sweet Treats, Secret Ingredient is Love, not cocaine. Let's just get right into it.
Yeah. This was a big weekend because Chance dropped his first album.
No, Chance dropped a album.
His first
an album.
The internet says
Chance dropped
that Chance the Rapper put out his first album this weekend.
Nope, Chance dropped an album this weekend.
This is official. This is official first album that was released through what are those things called? Streaming services.
Yeah.
Yeah, streaming services.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though the other ones have been on streaming and
right.
on streaming services.
Right. Actually, if you're keeping track,
debuted on streaming services.
Yeah, it's actually fourth album.
Right.
But okay. I'll play along.
Yeah. Sure.
Ouch.
Sure.
Great debut.
Right. Congratulations, Chance, on your debut.
I can't wait to see what he does.
Right.
This kid has a future ahead of him. Okay, no. All right. Let's cut the bullshit. Chance dropped this album.
Right.
And it's called
The Big Day.
Big Day. Yeah. The Big Day.
Yeah. Big Day.
Can I talk about this album art real quick?
Yes.
Okay, so what is it? He's holding, you know what it looks like? It looks like, you know when you buy a stack of like CDRs to record shit and it has that little plastic one that covers them up to protect them? Uh-huh. It's like he took one of those and covered it, he bedazzled it, and then like they took a picture of it.
Oh, see, I didn't think it was bedazzling. To me, it looks like holes, like somebody took a blank disc and shot like BB gun at it. that's legit what I thought it was.
Well, what does it mean?
I thought like it was like some kind of like reflection in it, so like when you saw it, it was like some like diamonds or something that like kind of like shine as it hit like at the light at that moment. But then I also felt like it was like remnants of like the what album was that? Who started the Clear Crazy album look? Or who did it recently that did a Clear Crazy album and we were just like, oh, okay. Kanye.
What, the
Yeezus
cover?
It was just a blank. Yeah, it was just a
clear
CD
case.
And it was just a CD with, like, the words around it,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, okay, maybe it's that with, like, you know, a little touch of, like, well, mine is going to shine because it has God's light beaming from it.
You're not actually going to buy the CD, so if you did, this is what it would have looked like if we would have actually made one.
You can get it on vinyl.
I'm sure you can.
And maybe it'll look like that on vinyl. Maybe it'll look like that.
I love that you can do these really custom vinyl things.
Yeah, like the color vinyl is sick.
Yeah, you know? I've seen some really...
Freddie Gibbs and Madlib dropped a limited edition for their joint album, only 1,000 copies.
Yeah.
And all white. And, like, man.
That's
fresh.
Pretty sick.
Fresh. Like, that's the thing is, people love to
diamonds.
Collect things, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know.
I guess they are diamonds on it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, I thought it was some kind of like diamond shiny glistening thing. Bling kind bling. Of like I'm bling bling.
Like the rhinestone cowboy.
But yeah, let's talk about it.
So there's a lot of anticipation for this because, you know, for years now, Chance has been kind of this anomaly, this golden boy of independent music broadly.
Yeah.
Because he's been bucking the system. In fact, the Grammys have changed their rules because of Chance's success.
Right.
Can you argue that it's single-handed? Obviously, it's not. But the narrative has definitely been like, Chance came out and was swinging for the fences, doing big numbers, doing big things, making great stuff, making all these appearances with no label, with no squad support from the actual industry, right. But like just independently making his moves and making waves happen. To the point that then all of the other music homies like that he was working with within the industry started... really pushing and campaigning on how to change the rules. So now we're to a place where streaming albums are now Grammy eligible.
Right. They've been legitimized. He helped legitimize
the
internet movement.
And he's done some really cool shit too. Like, I mean, he rent out the Cubs Stadium and put on his own music festival?
Yeah.
Like, that's dope. He's been doing some great stuff for his city. Mm-hmm. You know, community activist, doing a thing. I think it's actually relevant to the album. So, you know, he also went viral for doing some dance challenges and stuff, you know. He's had the attention of the interwebs and has captured American imagination. Oh, and of course, the Doritos commercials.
Right.
I love those Doritos commercials. Have you seen the one with Lionel Richie?
Yeah. No. Because I don't watch commercials.
I haven't seen that one. I saw the one with him in the Backstreet Boys.
The Backstreet Boys, exactly.
And that one kind of pissed me off. I was kind of upset with that.
Funny enough, people were wondering, like, man, I thought he was just doing that for money. But no, Chance actually does love Doritos and apparently doesn't eat vegetables. I found that out on Twitter the other day.
He's the child.
Like, he lost a bet to Megan Thee Stallion, and she made him eat broccoli as the thing. And he has a video of him on Twitter, like, mad as fuck, eating like some steamed broccoli. Like, barely just doesn't do veggies. Yeah.
Hold on, I need a moment.
You're a whole adult, you don't eat vegetables.
You don't eat vegetables. Do you drink water? Are you okay? Do we gotta send somebody? Do I gotta call DHS?
Once again, can we just have a paused moment for our wonderful black queens, even while they're having their hot girl summers, are still getting you niggas in line.
True.
Facts. Bruh, give me some Megan. Dap on that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, an educated hot girl summer is still making you niggas eat broccoli. What is going on in 2019?
That's that black girl magic for you, bruh.
Shit. Facts. That's facts. Just major.
Still caring about your dirty ass. All right,
so I feel like we're beating around the bush, though. We're beating around the bush.
There's actually an album we want to talk about. Yeah. Because we're doing... It's a review show. It's a big day.
It's the big day. Madison got feelings.
Yeah. Oh, I always have feelings.
Yeah,
I'm trying to listen to them and honor them.
He's going to be the one dropping hot takes today.
Am I? I feel like... we'll get into it.
Okay.
Where do you want to start?
I mean, where you want to start?
Oh.
Yeah, I'll start.
You know,
I'll start. Because I overall enjoyed the album.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's not album of the year.
Sure.
It's not a game changer, but as a fan of Chance, it is very much a Chance album.
Okay.
It falls in line with Coloring Book and Acid Rap. There's nothing that really, truly deviates from the formula.
Sure.
It's uplifting, heavy spiritual aspects to it.
Yeah.
Kid employs some producers whose sample game is top notch, in my opinion. And it's a love letter to, well, now his wife in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I feel overall it did not disappoint. I listened to it three times now total.
Okay.
How many tracks is it? You're looking
at? 22.
22 tracks. There's like six that I really bought with.
Okay.
The rest of them are just kind of like, I might skip them, I might not. There's only like two on there that I'm just really like,
Exactly. Thank you for saying that because... much anticipated, right? You know, he cut that big deal with Apple Music. That was a multi-million-dollar distribution, whatever, with Coloring Book.
Right.
And so naturally, the follow-up, you're like real, real gassed.
Yeah.
I waited this long to hear this album.
You didn't wait that long.
What, like 2 years?
Yeah. I'm a Kanye fan. You didn't wait that long.
That's a nice
Yachty was supposed to come out by Friday.
But facts, listen to what I listened to. I would have willingly waited 2 more years to hear something better.
Woo!
Like,
strong feeling, sir.
Sir, you said it yourself. You said there are 6 tracks and some tracks you were like, nah, I can skip it. That, to me, sounds like a failure, especially considering...
That, to me, sounds like a modern hip-hop album.
Well, that's...
And not even a modern hip-hop. But just sounds to me like an album in general that's at that length, because, I mean, for the most part, there's like... I can think of maybe... 10 to 15 albums ever that I could just go front to back and be like, every track is a banger.
But see, that's the thing. The game has changed with the way streaming works. That, like, the ones who are really doing it well have a laser focus. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to drop 8 that are going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm listening to 8.
Okay, so Kanye's the one doing it right.
Right. Or, he dropped 7. Right? Yeah. But, okay, Tyler, the Creator, dropped 12.
Yeah.
And I vibe with the whole thing, right? But then it's like niggas like,
you're also
like
talking
Drake
about
and Travis Scott that like want to just drop like, oh, here's a million tracks.
You're talking about actual musicians dropping albums, which regardless of it's streaming or if you're going out and buying an album, going back to fucking 8 tracks,
yeah.
Like actual musicians versus parts of the machine.
Yeah. But that's the thing is, Chance was supposed to be not in
the
machine.
No, Chance built his own machine. So, and that's another thing. I think that's a broken concept. Everybody's out here gassing this nigga like he's doing something special by doing something independent. No, he's not.
No, absolutely not.
He's not. He's doing what everybody who calls himself a SoundCloud rapper is doing. His shit just happened to be better than a lot of the SoundCloud rappers
right.
out there.
Ooh, right.
And it's, this album continues in that tradition. It's still better than a lot of the shit that's out there that you can just go and stream no problem.
Yeah, it's very middle of the pack to me.
All right, Daniel, you're awfully quiet. I'll go ahead and give you the balance of the two evils here. Chancey rappers.
How am I evil? I'm not gassing.
No, it's not evil. Like. No, you're not gassing it. You've already said what it is. You said there's a few tracks on there. There's about six or there's about six that you'll bop, and there's two that you'll give off. Madison is giving off the fact that it is just something that is highly expected, but yet it falls short in areas due to just the lack.
Mediocrity. That's the word. Mediocrity is the word.
So what I will say in the balance of these two, and I understand, I'm not bad.
Yeah.
I have understanding. So in the balance of these two, I will put it out as this. Chance the Rapper is the first commercially independent album that you see that has backing from it independently at a commercial value.
Oh, you're right.
But yet and still...
Speak on.
He still has a lot of room to grow.
That's now, very nice of you.
To speak on the average. I just want to speak on the average, so I'll put it in the perspective so I can show both sides. You have 22 songs that you're picking from.
Yeah. Take out the skits. How many?
That's what? Four skits, I think?
So four skits, three or four skits.
18
tracks. So that's still 18 tracks at the most. You're getting 18 tracks from someone who has left you hanging for 2 years. They've compiled, probably, say, for instance, within that time, maybe if you're a real artist and you're really doing your shit, you probably had maybe about 35, 40 songs that were sitting there that you were trying to figure out what to do with it. Yeah. So now that you're at this commercial success independently, you can't put everything out. And you can only put so much out at a time, because if you lose the attention or you overflood them with the saturation of how much shit's going on here, you can lose your fan base. You can lose these people fast.
Yeah. Well, if you're doing it like that, then I feel that he could have done what he did with the, what was it, I Need Security pack, where he could just drop four songs at a time every six to eight months.
And that would have been dope, because it would have kept the competition going and it'd keep you hungry.
But he, four of those songs.
But he couldn't do that. He needed to flood it. He needed to flood it with this album so that there's enough to build from, even between the fillers that are on there, even the songs that are not praised high. Those are still going to be ones that you're going to be able to tour with to keep your thing going so you can build more money.
And you're bringing up a really good business point.
Exactly.
Because the thing is, the actual timing of the album is still just over an hour.
Yeah. An hour and 17 minutes.
Yeah. So that being said, it's not necessarily, like, being 22 songs, it's not necessarily a huge time commitment. Because what it's really about, it's about the streams.
Yeah,
it's about clicking through. It's about the click through.
Right.
Because
However, those numbers
are going to then spike, and that paycheck is going to be nice.
He has multiple songs that are over 5 minutes, which is rare.
Yeah.
Which is rare in this current climate.
It's true.
Yeah, it's hard to keep somebody there for longer than maybe 2 minutes, three at the most.
Yeah, like 2.5 is like the average. Like Amigos' album is 22 tracks is 2.5 minutes each.
Yeah,
you got a 40-minute album.
Yeah.
35.
Right. I got 10 minutes. How many tracks do you give me? I got 41 tracks
like
for you, bro.
Same thing talking about flipping work and fucking bitches in a Francie car and some Versace that you wear by a gay man that you don't like gay people, though.
I mean,
the fuck
that's
is
a,
going
that's
on?
A lot to unpack.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
That's a different conversation. Especially to talk about Chance today.
Yeah.
Not about.
And we know Chance ain't that guy.
I'll say this. So I loved the opening track.
Yes, it's a standard Chance opening track.
Yeah,
And then I felt like
maybe I was really disappointed, because like that shit had me so pumped. I was like, yo, this might be everything. And then three songs later, I was like, is it over yet?
No, stop yourself. Because three songs later is Hot Shower, and that's the best damn song in that whole album.
I didn't like it.
Uncle shot, Madison Ray.
Yeah, I feel, you sound like an old man right now.
He's got his outfit on, so I mean, it kind of feels very Uncle Madison.
Yes.
Like, maybe this is a moment where it's like, I don't want to move with the times. So you're being a little stubborn.
I think here's why I do like it, is because Chance, who, I mean, yes, technically he's a millennial rapper. Okay?
Facts.
But he doesn't do the same shit as current millennial rappers do. And he took that style and he bodied the fuck out of it. Like, he did it better than any of these other young niggas that are out here doing that style.
There were a couple of tracks that did kind of pull me back in, that had a really, like, 90s bop to it. Like, actually, the thing he did with In Vogue,
he didn't like it.
Well, what was the one that was...
That's the one I just played you, the 90s vibe one. The one that you didn't like the hook to.
Oh!
But thing Because
the thing is... So I heard them singing, and I was like, is that In Vogue? And I thought maybe they're singing the hook. But it ended up being, like, really balanced. Yeah. Like, it was like an In Vogue song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I was like, cool. But then there's also this, like, Death Cab song that pops up in there, too. Like,
which one's that?
I think it was, like, track three.
Eternal?
Yeah. I think that's the one.
Well, we probably get in trouble if I play that.
Yeah, I mean, don't
maybe not do that.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
I did it earlier and I was like, boop. I had to go to Boopy Town.
Yeah, let's see. What songs do I like? I like All Day Long, Hot Shower. I liked I Got You. That's the one you're talking about.
Yep. I thought the title track, Handsome, The Big Day, was actually pretty good.
I liked Handsome with Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ball and Flossin' is my shit.
Ball and Flossin' was a good one for me, too. I really like.
And then Found a Good One, Single No More. I like that one, too. The rest of them, I'm kind of like, meh.
Now, here's
the sad thing is, the ones I don't like, I don't even know the name of. I know it's Nicki Minaj is on there twice. I know the first one where I did not like.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
The second one, I was like, okay, this is cool, because it reminded me of old Nicki.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I was like, I respect it. The one where she's not talking about her husband.
So here's what's really fascinating, and I don't know if this is like a trend or just like there are only certain ones that are doing it. They're not flexing the guest stars and the cameos.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, and they're not
they're like Easter eggs.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like the keen ear.
Unless you don't like the person's actual names, because then they get writer credits.
Exactly. So you all you have to do is listen and be like, yo. Who came through on this?
No.
Yeah, that's starting to bother me.
You know? But that's the thing, is what's kind of cool. I understand that on both sides.
Exactly.
Because on one side, it's like, I'd like to know who's involved, you know, to give props where props are due.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, it is the collaborations that bring you into an artist that you're not necessarily going to vibe with.
Exactly.
Or to even, on the other side, be like, yo, I wouldn't have given, you know... Like,
this person. Yeah,
yeah. I forgot Death Cab was a thing until, like... And then I'm here listening to this track and I'm like, oh, and now like emo me from 2004 is like, oh yeah, I remember that. Postal Service.
Like Shawn Mendes is on there.
Shawn Mendes is on there too.
And I like the song that he's on. And Sam was like, who is that? And she's like, is that? And she named somebody. I'm like, I don't think so. I'm like, oh, Shawn Mendes. And I can't think of
when he first started singing, I thought, like, did he get Robin Thicke? I hope not.
That's what I thought too. And I'm like,
wait, so this is Ball and Flossin.
Shawn Mendes.
So I'm listening to Ball and Flossin, and Ball and Flossin was where I stopped. Like, I couldn't listen to the rest of the album because it was the touch of the ripples of the pond of my childhood. Mm. Like, being a little kid and, like, when I was in being in my room alone and being able to, like, listen to music and, like, getting to the point where we were at the point of listening and figuring out about house. Mm-hmm. Like, getting that music. I didn't really get to, like, get into house or, like, know really what it was until, like, I was probably, like, maybe 12 or 13 and we were, like, in drill team and we were traveling into Chicago and then we were getting to, like, maybe Rock Island. We'd go to a party and they'd have, like, all the kids upstairs and start playing house music and we're looking around but we're hype in the midst of it, but we're Iowa kids and I never knew nothing about it.
Right.
So then, like,
footwork.
Exactly. Right, but right, then right, not right, even, right. Like, but the footwork is even out of the question. They was juking and humping and pumping. Like, that was, and that's, like, right in the midst of Back That Ass Up. So, like, it was really official. Yeah. So, like, in your ending Freaknik, this is a new generation of Freaknik kids. I mean, serious. But
in the generation to openly get ass.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. But the part that, casual. Like, so the part that gets me was
I need to ask. Thank you.
The sample alone. with Randy on the sample, like, that hits me because it's like, I was in love with Randy, like, chocolate deep voice.
We've had this conversation.
And I mean, that's cool. I like Monica too. Like, no, my mom like played both of them.
Like, as far as like having like that 90s R&B crush, like, Monica was having it.
And I mean, yeah, I understand
like,
that
I
too.
I didn't understand how they was arguing. In the boy's mind, I was mad because I'm like, why would you put it on?
Why would y'all argue over
face
that
Brandy?
Nigga.
Like, oh, get it.
Damn. Damn it.
Moesha's not even that good. It's hit or miss. The first two seasons were dope, and then it fell off.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, for
she
me...
She kills people with her car.
Why you not give why you got put the car shit?
I just gotta let you know that I'm riding for Monica to this day.
I mean, it's all right, though. She's around.
You picked your team.
She's right. Around, but she picks...
Boy.
And, okay, see,
Black men don't cheat.
I don't like that. See, then I have to put out, and then I have to sit there and try to throw dirt. I'm not gonna throw dirt this afternoon because that's the nigga shit that people try to do. They try to bring the black out of you as soon as they can.
Excuse me, sir. You introduce yourself as the problematic black.
But then you want you me started. To be extra problematic, but I'm not
just,
gonna
I'm
do
just
that.
I'm trying to let you be you. I just want you to
living your best life.
Well, I mean, if I was living my best life, the best
call
nigga
you son,
would be like,
you shine like one B.
And I do. Y'all want sweet or unsweet? Big and shit. But this Brandy sample was everything to me because that was the first concert I went to see when Boyz II Men came here to Ames in like 1990, whatever. And they were on their two tour and there was Lil Brandy that was their opening act with like Subway. And so like here I am from like Hell's Bleed screaming down for Brandy. So like I Wanna Be Down sample was like, it went up for me.
Yeah.
But then, like, the mixture of the house into it, too, it just, it felt so right. Mm. So it was like, and then it was just like, it kept touching on, like, that child nostalgia. So, like, I could see, like, me hanging around my little friends or cousins and shit and, like, making up dances and shit to the song. And, like, I wanted to do whatever dances and all of that to it. And then, like, I was so excited because then when I'm listening to it, I'm like, man. The ballroom kids are going to have a fucking riot with this. Mm. Like, and then I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, oh, man. Teyana Taylor probably heard this in the studio, and I bet you she was pissed. Like, I wonder, like, what she felt like. How was it being that close to someone and being like, when are you going to put this out? Like,
yeah.
I actually would like to hear a Teyana remix of Single No More.
Huh.
I'm single now, man. I think she would kill that shit.
So I'll say this. There were some vibes that definitely, like, in the spirit of nostalgia and reminiscence.
Yeah.
There were some bops in there that felt like kind of like throwback early Kanye, which was nice. Like, it felt like there's definitely some stuff that's like, it's like really representing Chicago as a, like, the bigger picture of, like, hitting all these. Like I said, Chance is very much our junior. Yeah. So, like, he was not alive in these times to enjoy these things, so it's definitely not him.
He's like 27, I think.
Yeah. So like he'd have been a baby when these things were happening, if he was even alive yet.
Right.
So like it's definitely not him reminiscing, but I think it's more so about like being able to
hear
paint the bigger picture. Right. Exactly.
Him being
able
to
contextualize, like, yo, this was like the thing in like 92, and this is what was like the thing in like 96, and here's the thing in like 02. Like, that was the kind of thing that felt kind of nice to me, that kept getting pulling my ear back in.
It's like the same thing as us going back and having like this love for like 80s pop funk,
right?
You know what I mean, like, right. That's all it is. It's like the stuff that you probably grew up listening to, like,
exactly,
older cousins,
exactly.
The
cookout
uncles,
jams,
whatever that was.
Yeah,
cool.
Your auntie and uncles constantly playing house music and gospel music in the house, and they're beating your head down with this, so you don't have no other choice but to praise God and be on the house mix at the same time.
I would be mad at God, I don't lie, like in the whole church thing in general, but gospel music has always been a big thing for me, like, because I strayed from the flock from my childhood upbringing to where I currently am. Like, gospel music is still my shit. Like, it's just good.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds good. It makes you feel good. I'm with it.
It's always going to be that. There's no way that you can deny gospel music.
Yeah. Chance, though, from start to finish, he has his first Jesus-y song on there. Samples the church cholo.
I love you, God.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We love you, Christ. Jesus Christ.
Right, like that. That
the armor of Christ.
That made me happy.
He hit that robot.
I hope he really gets it. I hope he makes a video for that song just so he can get that dude.
Yo.
And so I will say that this album definitely shows that Chance is happy currently in his life, which is a good thing. Everyone deserves that chance. Everybody deserves no pun intended, but it works. Everybody deserves, how you doing? Everybody deserves that in their life, right?
Yeah.
What's interesting is, as a hip hop fan, it's so atypical.
Oh, to not come out of the conflict, but to come out of a joyous place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that might be part of why you got bored. Is because you can only hear about so much success.
Happiness.
This I've said this not on air. This was definitely felt like a very like victory lap kind of album. And a lot of artists have those, you know, like where it's like,
see, I don't even know if you could call it that, though.
And see, I got a million dollars. That's probably when he was saying that. That's how I get the Uncle Madison vibe from him, because I'm like, he probably, okay, I'm like, as much as he listens and like, I'm like, I don't think he reads the context since he's saying that when he's saying the victory lap, because I think of Nipsey immediately upon you saying it. So the first thing I think about is, oh, here is my first album that I'm running in a victory lap of a marathon, and I just got here. Like, Chance just got here. So yeah, it is a victory lap. But at the same time, no, which I agree with you in the sense of that. But when you say it in the sense of it being a victory lap, that's the part where I get lost, because I'm like, yo, it's just the beginning for him, and it's just showing you how capable as an independent artist he is. Being able to pull these people and pull them all in together.
Well, let me speak on that, though. Let me push back a little bit.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I'm not against celebrating the wins. I think part of it was, I think I got a little tired of hearing like verse after verse or line after line about like success after success.
Yeah.
And let me give you an example.
You love your wife.
Right. Cool. Like,
facts.
Give me a song about your wife, and then move on to something else. Please.
Right.
Just to kind of change topics just slightly, like, I was watching an episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was an episode with Jamie Foxx. Mm. And Jamie Foxx was talking to Seinfeld, who was actually just in town on Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, he was at the Civic Center doing a show. Crazy.
Huh.
But he's telling Seinfeld that... So Jamie was on his come up, and he just got his first little bit of money, like, and that affected his comedy. Because now his jokes were about like having money, and he would go out in front of these audiences and, you know, talk about that and then bomb.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to hear that.
Yeah.
Because it's not relatable. I don't give a shit about you being rich or like because you now you're successful, because the hunger is no longer there.
Right.
And he was talking about so he made these jokes and he thinks he's killing it because he's got a little TV deal, you know what I mean? He's making some good money, you know, like, so he comes out and he's like, yeah. You know, it's so hard being rich, right? I'm killing it. I'm Jamie Foxx. Thank you. And he's thinking that he's, you know, that he just crushed it, and all he's getting is little golf claps. He goes out to outside. When he comes back in, he opens the door, and he hears that, like, that roar. And he sees this kid on stage, and it's Chris Tucker. Chris Tucker was hungry and was, you know, was coming for his neck. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's that thing, and I won't even say that's conflict. I think it's a place of striving, and it's a place of hunger that pushes the art to really be electric and to sizzle. Because like when you say this is like my shot, like I'm shooting all the shots, bro. Like I'm going for a kill shot. But like when you're comfortable, like it's like when Eminem kind of fell off, right? Like when he first came out and he was talking about, I mean, it's kind of fucked up, was angsty, talking about killing his wife or his baby mom or whatever.
Yeah,
like killing his family. Like it's like, whoa, that's real, real heavy. But it was like because he was a poor kid who was hungry. Once he had that success and he's got some awards and now he's like a big pop star, he starts putting shit out and you're like,
yeah,
I don't really. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, you're kind of corny. Okay.
It's the same thing. I mean,
it's just that. It's that.
People suffer from success.
It's that trap.
People suffer from success. Same thing happened to Jay-Z with 444. Like, it didn't resonate with people because they weren't ready for it.
I think actually it was with when he dropped
or
Magna Carta
or Holy Grail.
Yeah. It was like it got too old for. We were rooting for Jay-Z.
Too old for.
Right, we were rooting for Jay-Z when he was the underdog, when he was the hustler, when he was Reasonable Doubt Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Once he becomes the brand, once he becomes Pepsi, once he's doing his victory lap, you're like, okay, cool, you got to deal with Samsung. Good for you, buddy.
I'm not
going
to buy a phone to get your album.
Right. You're rapping about buying really expensive art that I don't even know what that even looks like. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Where is Pablo and where are the kilos? We want our cocaine.
But here's the thing. All right. So
with Chance.
So to use your favorite as an example, Kanye has had a lot of success, but he's somehow is able to maintain artistic vision and integrity. Musician. Yeah, he's also a little bit crazy.
Right.
I think that helps too.
Yeah, I mean, as successful as you are, if you're still suffering from your own demons, you can put that into your artistry.
And that's exactly it. Yeah. Like, okay, cool, you made a bunch of money.
Chance is no longer, you got your Grammys. Once an addict, you're always an addict, but Chance is no longer dealing with his drug dependency issue as heavily. Chance, again, he's no longer back and forth with the lady that's baby mama. Like, he's actually going to be marrying her.
Right.
He got a happy, healthy child. Like, Chance is to that point where he's straight praising God. And I will admit, to me, I feel like Chance used Jesus like just about every other hardcore Christian I've ever met used Jesus. That's a crutch. And I will admit, that's my one negative note about the album. And I mean, nothing against him. And I know a lot of people are not going to appreciate that for the other ones who give all glory to God. But I feel like Chance still has phenomenal wordplay. Chance has some great metaphors. His references to things like that Good Burger reference in Hot Shower, the way he set that up was fucking golden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there it is. By the time you get to like track 12 and like four of them have been about how great God is for taking care of stuff, I'm like, all right, bro, like, yeah, okay. He made a way out of no way. That's awesome. Like, what else you got? Mm-hmm. So I will agree with you on that.
Yeah. Because the thing is, I was going to say, despite the success, despite all of the trappings or dressing of happiness and peace of mind and all that kind of stuff, there's still work to do. There's still the grimy edges of this man's life that he ain't touching, or at least he ain't sharing with us, which I think ultimately hurts the art because, like, okay, fame is a trap.
Yeah.
Wealth is a trap.
Yeah.
All right, so now you got some money and you got some success. Why don't you drop some verses about like how shit has changed, or how maybe you need to hire a financial planner so you don't go broke? You know what I mean? Like, drop some real game on the people who are riding for you so that they can get their game
even
up
too. Even that though is slightly different than your average artist is going to be having to deal with, because he doesn't have that whole label monkey on his back.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's really having to like piece out his money and make sure that he's good to go, because at this point, just about everything he's getting that he's not paying directly to people who are like writing and producing stuff for him comes back to him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not the artist that has to rely on touring for the rest of his life because he's not making any money off his actual albums. He doesn't have to do all that.
Yeah. I was more broadly talking about like just financial literacy. Yeah. Like, once you come into some money, like, most niggas don't know what to do with that money.
I think Chance is a political route. I think Chance, with the education that he has, with his father being a councilman in Chicago, like real Chicago, with
those Obama ties,
the fact that he bought that newspaper that he found racist in there, the fact that he called out Heineken for microaggressions for racism, I think that Chance could do a lot of damage with the level of intelligence and wordplay that he has as a political rapper in any sense of the word. But I feel like he would abandon a whole lot of his fan base, because a lot of these internet kids are those hipster white kids that are on their dad's laptop that are still out here streaming stuff, and all of a sudden if they get called out for wearing that MAGA hat, they're going to feel some type of way about it.
Right.
So I think Chance, I would like to see him go that route and to bring conflict while still being overall a happy person back into
his music. Exactly, because it's not about necessarily reveling in the conflict.
Right.
It's recognizing
attention to it, the using conflict. Your platform.
Because it's still there.
To do that.
Yeah. Because, like, okay, you're successful, but your city is still, like,
struggling.
Right, you know what I mean?
Like, all this stuff coming to light about potential corruption. Like, I mean, how many of these actual murders were, like, that's in the news right now. How many of these murders were committed by actual gang activity in Chicago versus how many were perpetrated by cops to give off this idea that the problem is actually worse than it is?
Huh.
Like, you could bring attention to that.
Give me some bars on that, bro.
Right? So I mean, so I'll hear you on that. But overall, I think it was a solid showing. It was right in line, coloring book and acid rap. Like, it was a Chance album.
Yeah.
It was a Chance album. I feel like this was, you know what?
What? If you say chicken bomb, I'm going to punch you in the neck.
Damn it.
You know why? Chicken pot pie.
Hey!
But... this album, and stop me if y'all disagree, and being another Chicago kid, this was graduation. If acid rap is college dropout, coloring book is late registration, this is definitely graduation.
I'm not comparing Chance the Rapper to Kanye West ever.
I'm just saying the feeling, is like the sentiment behind it.
No.
All right, absolutely forgive me being the biggest Kanye fan in the group, but
forgive me.
And I'm sorry that you are the biggest Kanye fan in the group.
So, all right, so no, but, give, but me another, saying, give me another album trilogy that you think would have that same growth
Chance
pattern.
The Rapper.
The same parabola, if you will.
Chance the Rapper on an independent level is not going to have the same qualities of anyone right now. When I think of Chance the Rapper and in the comparison of someone and what they're doing on the level of artistry, you're going to be mad at what I'm going to say, but Chance the Rapper is DJ Khaled that actually can rap.
He's a facilitator.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's true. So Chance can come in as a wild card. He's like an Uno card. He's an Uno card. So when you can play him at the right time, you can play him.
Yeah.
He can play as a wild card. He can
sell
give
your
you a
Doritos,
draw.
Sell
he
your
can,
Kit Kat bars.
He can
bars.
Give you everything. He can give you the draw four. He can give you the wild and give you the color. He can get you in the position. He's one of the Uno wild cards. But it takes the rest of the colors for you to either finish, or you have to finish off of those colors and end with him in order for it to be cement.
See, and I don't think I can agree with that for the simple fact that I would be perfectly fine if Chance did not have, like, just about any of the features that he has.
It's not about him having the features
I'm saying,
that
like,
he has.
I don't feel like he needs. I don't feel like he needs that backup to make a good track. In fact, I feel like most of his best tracks don't have all that extra room.
And he doesn't need those. But the thing is that when he came in, he came off of the back somebody else. He flipped off of their back, got a nice
Gambino.
Little view of the spotlight.
Yeah.
In the spotlight,
like,
while he was
Chuck's
there, he still
for
had.
At the time that he was with Gambino, though, Chance was better than Gambino.
Well, that's all.
In hindsight, Gambino's first album was garbage.
Well, think about DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled, when he was with someone else,
he was
pulling better shit.
Yeah.
And he can pull some better shit out and pull forward. Now alone, you don't fuck with DJ Khaled because all you see is all of his friends that he can pull in, and you see his method.
His album had two bops on it, too.
Exactly. Like, so it's not really
bops.
All that.
I love No Brainer so much.
Man.
I love No Brainer so much.
No Brainer was not. The
no,
one
I like this
me.
One with Nipsey and John Legend.
Yeah, that was cool. It was right on time.
John Legend is absolutely a feature artist, not a solo artist, in my opinion.
It's been that way from the jump.
Wow.
No, I like this debut album.
Yeah, Get Lifted
but
was
everything
great.
After
well,
that,
yeah, his Get Lifted album was cool,
that,
but he's the same.
He transitioned
okay,
to being
wait,
a feature.
Wait. Let me stop you. Let me stop you with this one. They're cousins. Parallel, same career, same parallel, riding the same boat. One's bigger than the other. Want to know why? Because one built a boat a little bit bigger off of the talents that they had in order to make sure that their ship sailed faster. Theirs is just a second smaller boat. Chance is a tugboat in comparison to John Legend, which is a steamboat, which is in comparison to fucking Kanye West, which is your Titanic that's shipping. He's hit his iceberg and he is sinking. But you've got his boat, his second boat that can come back to build him right back
in. This is a really great segue into our next segment, which we're going to take a little break here in about 30 seconds. This is not the only hip-hop album
this
that
is
dropped.
Not the only independent weekend
that's right.
That we're having.
Exactly.
It's fucking amazing.
On the spirit of hip-hop, Midwest hip-hop, on this regional thing, like on some local bops, Andre Davis finally dropped When It Rains on the same day.
It was a good day in hip-hop.
And, it was a very good day in hip-hop for independent black hip-hop at that.
And in this next segment, we're going to talk about his new album and all the controversy around him. So hold tight. We'll be right back.
Real quick before we do that. I think it's safe to say that I think a composite average for the three of us, I think we would give Chance like a 6.5 out of 10.
Maybe. I mean, I won't listen to that
I'm saying
album
like
again.
Composite. Like, amongst the three of us.
Because,
I mean, me personally, I'd say as far as Chance albums go, I would overall give it like 7.5.
Yeah. And we're at 7 out of 10?
Like, yeah, out of 10.
Okay, I'll give it like a 4.
That's what
definitely,
I think he's going to say.
I'm not going to give any numbers, but I'll just say that I will be working out tomorrow in Fawcett.
Okay.
My kids love it, so yeah, I'll be pumped for that.
All right.
Bria, do not mention shit.
We'll be right back. Hold tight. And we're back. And a good friend of ours, a frequent guest.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Andre Davis finally dropped When It Rains, his first full-length album with Station One Records, right out of Des Moines, Iowa. My man's is actually from St. Louis, but he's out here in the Midwest repping.
Transplant.
Doing his thing, you know. He's had a rough week. There was a little bit of... let's just talk about the lead-in. So we dropped three videos.
Right.
Three visuals.
Woo! That had me hyped for the album.
Yeah.
We started talking
about
Yo, they're so... They were so good.
Mm-hmm.
They were so good. Like, the quality... Not just... I mean, just the way they were shot, the way they're presented. It had, like, a vision, an artistry. It was showing these different kind of layers to him.
Oh.
Yeah.
The first one that came out was Push, which is dedicated to a cousin of his who was killed. That's dope. Coming out of the gate with something so personal and something
serious,
so close to the chest.
Serious.
Like, you know, and that's, you know, we talk about the conflict. My man's comes out of a place of conflict, but doesn't necessarily, like, participate in the conflict.
Right.
At all.
But that's exactly the point. You don't have to be a part of it to be affected by it.
Right.
Never.
Or for it to even control your life in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
That you can... Listen, I love Andre so much because, like, he's out here, like, really doing that work. He's in law school right now. Like, he's really just putting that out there. Like, he's that dude. He is that dude.
Yeah.
But, like, there is that balance of, like, academia, and street.
Right.
He easily sits in both lanes.
He's the little cousin that all the OGs knew had the juice to make it. And so they wanted to protect him from that ugly shit. And
he's
on that right back.
Yeah, the one that
He's Ricky from...
No,
not Ricky.
He's not Ricky.
I mean,
see, because Ricky.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's not Ricky. He would be. Who was Furious' son?
It's the same character.
Yes, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, it would be. He would be him because,
Trey?
Clear. Yeah, he would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be Trey. Yeah, Trey.
Trey. Yeah.
It would be Trey because he's
go
got the.
It's been so long since I've seen that.
Man, I'm not watching that shit. I can't watch it right now.
I watched it.
Wait. And then just to go ahead and sidebar, RIP John Singleton.
But I feel like I need to watch one of his movies because I don't think I've watched any of them since he passed.
And Baby Boy.
Baby Boy is one of my favorite movies.
Or you can go watch Waist Deep.
I'm good. Love it. No thanks.
Waist Deep was the shit.
Is that Waist Deep or Into Deep?
Into Deep. That's Into Deep.
Okay, well, look who just wants to do the pool cue.
Waist Deep is the one with Tyrese and Megan Good.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Good?
I've seen it. I don't
know. Focus.
Okay, wait.
Let's jump off things. I don't need to relive that.
Right.
It's a good Christian.
And then he dropped two more. So Andre dropped two more visuals after that. One was MF Davis, which is an homage to MF Doom.
Mm-hmm. My favorite track.
Me.
And then also he had one that's called, is it Andre's Prayer?
Yeah. Even
with
even,
Oblivion as a tag at the end.
Right.
Even more me.
Yo. My man went heavy.
This guy's coming out for what?
So here's where the controversy then starts, right? My man's goes on TV to plug the album. The album drops on Friday. He's on TV on Thursday.
Right.
And he's got a little TV spot on live television performing specifically Push. Now, there's a line that's in the hook. How can I blame her for condemning me? Right? The TV producer thinks my man said the word fuck, which is a $300,000 fine from the FCC.
Okay.
So I understand being cautious.
Mm-hmm.
But what TV producer doesn't do their fucking homework when they're putting a segment together?
True.
Like, you could have watched the video. You could have watched the video. Or you could just use your fucking brain and listen. That word doesn't even.
Strongly about this guy.
Well, I'm saying the word doesn't even make sense in the context of the thing.
It really does.
Because the reason why I'm so gassed is because, like, it's clearly like racial bias. They saw a black rapper come on and they're already
they
on
just
edge.
Had their finger on the button waiting for him to mess up.
Right.
They already have other black artists that they treat the same way that they were just basically waiting for it. I mean, let's just be honest. Like Iowa. There's only 4% of us here, and you're scared as shit of us, and there's no reason for you to be that way.
Yeah.
We're the same people, we're the same thing, we're going through the same thing, and we want the same things as you want. You want to be exposed. You want to show your business, your brandings, your things of what nature. You want to be locally known and around your people to have their success and all of those things. And we want the same fucking thing. So why is it so hard for you to let a young black man who is doing his work on both ends not coming at you with anything?
That makes him even more dangerous.
Exactly. So don't be scared of the young black man coming in, doing what he's supposed to do, giving his community a very great fucking bird's eye view of what's really going on out here. Like I said, KCWI. Get your fucking act together.
CWI Live.
If you're gonna support us, support us all the way, damn it.
Well, so here's what happened. They cut him mid performance.
Yeah.
And cut away like he never even existed. What makes this even worse is when he had this conversation with the producers, upon his insistence that that's not the lyric, they told him that he was lying to them. They're trying to gaslight my homie into being guilty for something he didn't even do.
Yeah.
Like, it's that fucking tired ass, same ass, you know, narrative. I didn't do this thing. Yeah. Yes, you did. I saw you. I didn't do that thing. Yes, I did. I know what I saw, and you're guilty of what. Like, wow.
That's how you act,
and that's what's worse. Because I can, like I said, I can understand being cautious.
Yeah.
And he has that St. Louis accent, so I understand how "fuck condemning me" can sound like some other words.
Yeah.
So you just got Emmett Till, my man, on TV like that?
Right. And then what? Just keep moving? Keep it pushing like
it didn't whistle. He didn't whistle. He didn't say shit to him. It wasn't even sounding like it. You was just nervous of the fact that he was saying something that was getting too far to somebody that was touching on basis of some shit that needed to be touched on. You're just scared because somebody's actually going to try to touch and reach someone that you're scared of reaching.
Mm.
You want these black people to be in a fucking appropriate place. Bro.
They need to apologize. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it at that. They need to apologize publicly. On that same platform that they embarrassed him, they need to now make it right. That's the only way out of this thing.
Agreed.
That I think is appropriate. Anyway, on the upside,
which
the
album
dropped. The album dropped on Friday.
Right.
And let's get into it real quick.
Let's talk about it.
When it rains, baby.
When it rains. I will say, I should have listened to his album first.
Yeah.
I listened to Chance's album first.
Yeah.
And then I listened to Andre Davis's album. And Andre Davis's album is heavy.
It really is.
Like, super heavy. And I wasn't ready for that. Because Chance's shit was all uplifting and, like, happy and, like, praise God. And I'm happy with my baby mama and now my wife, blah, 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 blah. And that resonated with me. Like, I feel you, bro. I'm there, too. I'm trying to make this art. Have home hype, life is happy, all this is good, that and the other. And also, I listen to Andre Davis shit, and I'm like, damn it, like, people die every day, B. Like, I'm not. but I don't mean that in a negative way at all. Like, it was a heavy album. It had serious content to it. The kid is a masterful storyteller. Like, and as a fan of storytelling hip hop, I greatly enjoyed the pictures that he painted. Like, on just about every track.
Yeah,
facts.
Solid debut.
It felt really personal, obviously, but I felt like I got to know him better.
Yeah.
As well as I know him, I feel like I now know him even better.
Yeah. Bullseye.
Like, listening to those, I think his album is, what, 12, 13 tracks, something like that?
I think it's like 17.
Is it long?
I think it's a little bit longer.
Yeah.
It's still good though.
Also, it's worth it. Shout out to Motide on the production end.
Okay, Motide.
13 tracks. 13 tracks.
13. Yeah, that's a good number. That's a good number.
Yeah. Which was just long enough to make his point and get off of it before it felt too, like, redundant.
Yeah.
I think.
Facts.
It had a really mellow vibe to it that I really, because you could, like, vibe out and but still get lost in those stories.
Facts.
You know, as opposed to just like making it background.
See, now for me, I disagree with that.
Yeah.
And again, not a negative thing, but this is not an album that I'm just going to be able to put on and, like, draw to. Like,
sure. Facts.
It's not vibey in that sense to me. And maybe it's I think the production was good. It wasn't, like, the beats aren't what drew me in though.
Sure.
So like, I wouldn't be able to just put this on a vibe to it because I'm listening to what he's saying.
Sure.
Because I feel that not only is his content more important, but it's better than the production that it was paired with.
Facts.
Fair. Totally fair.
That is facts. What he's contributing and giving you with what was given, it's a lot. And I took it in into a sense of in a couple of different ways, because I from seeing him from afar, from being in around him and being in cahoots, I didn't get to really meet him and talk to him until after, you know, we had gotten, it had been maybe a few months in, so like it had been after the fact and things had gone and I'd seen him like perform and do some things, so then I kind of, you know, got a little familiarized with him. And I knew he was serious, so I was like, you know, I didn't take him in the sense of being, I knew what was going to come.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know how it was going to come, but I knew what was coming was serious because of how serious he carries himself. So, and we had this conversation where I was sitting and I'm like, I wanted to get to know him, because I was like, I can't get to know him. He just gives off this vibe, but I couldn't catch him. But then listening to this album, I was like, geez Louise, like, I see why his demeanor stands. I see why, as a young man, he stands the way he stands. Yeah. I see why he walks the way he walks. Like, he's carrying some things that are very heavy that he is going through, that he's not using things.
Working through his own things.
Yeah, he's working through. He's fighting demons, and he's fighting those demons without
overcoming
anything.
Generational trauma type shit.
Yeah, right? And like, he's doing it.
Because he touches on, like, not just, like, I mean, part of it is
stuff.
Because it's not just like the stereotypical, like, oh, gun violence in my neighborhood, cops, you know, shooting kids and all this kind of stuff, which does happen.
Yeah.
But it was also like his own like spiritual growth,
right,
and trying to wrestle with this thing of like
what people expected of him versus what he's going to be.
Right. There was a standout track for me, "Too Sober to Live."
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That has a different vibe from everything else
in
the album.
Absolutely.
But it's about not leaning on the crutches.
No crutches.
Yep. Woo! Which is what we talked about in the previous segment.
Yeah. Like, which is so dope to like recognize people's trauma and how they're using these things to cope, and how to like sidestep that and get a dose of that real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's also for me felt like I won't say a throwback, that's not it, but it seemed to be almost like a continuation of the spirit of the old school hip hop. You know what I mean? Like in that kind of like, arguably, you know, the golden era, that kind of like early 90s, late 80s, like KRS-One, Public Enemy,
Slick
Tupac,
Rick, Nas.
That kind of shit where it's storytelling, it has weight, it has gravity, it has thematics. It's like when hip hop was getting big before it went so commercial, and like people like Diddy started to like make it about
it's millennial revolutionary hip hop.
Yeah.
Like,
so there's almost kind of like almost this like homage or like love letter.
Well, like, I was saying
what the old heads would call real hip hop.
Yeah, and I was saying before we started recording, to me it sounds like a Nas album, and I mean that as the highest compliment.
Yeah.
Like
speak on it.
Yeah, he has that storytelling flow style of a young Nas, but with the wokeness of your current Nas.
Mm.
Like I was saying to Dano, if Cop Shot the Kid would have appeared on Illmatic, like that was the kind of vibe I got from.
Yo, and that flip at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I? All right. Though.
What's up?
All right, Andre. Let me apologize because this is not your fault. Your fans ruined Oblivion for me. I don't know how many of them listen to this show, but I'm saying anyway.
Speak on it. Wait. What's up?
People drop your favorite track, and there were all these Caucasian panties dropping for Oblivion. It just like ruined the song for me, because like going in and listening to the song versus like the snippet that he put on the end of Andre's Prayer.
Yeah.
Like, I social media ruined it for me. Like, I'm gonna have to like take some steps back and get back into it, because all I could think about was some of these people that I saw sharing it, talking about how, oh my god, this is a favorite track, like, oh my god, I didn't know you could sing, and I'm like, you're really listening to the wrong thing here. But like that seed had been planted in my head to where I'm like, yeah, okay, like dude can sing, like, all right, like Like, you really out here making cobweb pussy noise for something that really, that's not what we're talking about.
Okay, so I need to jump on back of that for a second because I didn't know that was him singing.
Yeah.
And so hearing that, I drive you to your house, that guy ride, coming back from the lake.
Yeah.
In my mode.
Yeah.
I'm listening to Oblivion and I'm laughing. Who the fuck is this Tank nigga on the end of this shit sounding all the way that he sounded this whole Tank R&B smooth ass shit on the back of this motherfucker thing, hitting this shit on the, who is this?
Yeah, that's him.
And with both of these albums, what's dope is that we were having this conversation about the Easter egg of who's here, who's doing things. My personal favorite album on the, or my personal favorite song on this one was his feature that he has with the Young Sis that the song comes up. Oh, Old
Girl Singing.
No, it's absolutely not Old Girl that's singing. Let me
Summer Rae?
Pull that name. Yes, Summer Rae, Rye Greene. Whoever Rye Greene is,
mm-hmm.
is she rapping too?
I think it's the same person. Yeah, okay. I think that does the hook and the verse.
Is she black?
I have no idea. I don't know who this person.
If she's not black, my God, that sounds like a black woman that's dragging us. I've never heard someone drag something. Like, she literally is giving you a black woman's perspective of dragging a black man for, excuse me, you don't get to come with me with any of the bullshit that you think you can come with me because I'm dealing with my own.
Mm.
So I'm not going to be your mammy titty. You're going to be my equal, and we're going to run from there. And listening to the song, I listened to it about probably like 3 or 4 times just to catch her kind of just keep it rolling. Mm-hmm. And she continuously kept rolling with these different puns and different snaps, and it was just like, damn, like, what more do you want? Like, you're getting a dragging because you're not going to be able to have those excuses and hold that weight in the sense of just saying that this is the reason why these things are it is. So that was epic to hear that. Hearing that constantly, it was extremely epic to me. Yeah. If it's Rae Greene, you need to put your social media, put your stuff together. You need to be more visible because you are making a lot of noise from just one song. And I don't think people are really in tune or knowing that you're really giving them a piece of a black woman's mind. It was a thorough dragging. The man has bars, but that was a match.
Yeah.
That was a match in the least. Like, she really kind of drug him through that shit. Like, I felt bad for him because it was like, there's no excuses. Like, it really was. Like, it's sad. Like,
yeah.
And I love it, but I feel bad because it's like, you can't, like, there's a, like, in this levels to this shit, like, you don't get to do that anymore. Like,
yeah.
And the reckon is in the, and for her to put that in these bars in recognition, like, no, nigga, you don't get to, like,
well, you know, I'll say this. I think in Andre's sense of wokeness, that piece of the puzzle is necessary.
Exactly.
In his body of work.
Absolutely.
That there has to be that perspective, and it's not about him speaking on it, but it's about allowing someone to speak for themselves.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, well, and make those assertions.
You know him personally, like, dude is a huge advocate for a black woman. I think it was absolutely important for him to have that voice on his album. I think he felt that decision was great.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm real geeked for this, for what could happen for this guy. Yeah. Like, for me, like, just the experience from top to bottom, like, you know, like, I'm an album listener kind of person.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I want the whole experience. Like, show me the whole picture.
Yeah.
But I had the privilege to watch him perform it last night,
right,
at the Summer in the City concert series. Shout out to them. I don't know if there's any more happening this summer because we're getting. We're getting to August now.
I hope so.
I think there might be one more. Check the socials if you know But this is the second year they've done this.
Nice.
It's a free concert series that happens in parks all across the city. Different flavors, different genres, something for everybody, where you can bring the family out and just vibe out, hang out, you know what I mean, have some food, whatever, and just kick it. It's a great vibe. Nice. So if you aren't rocking with these things, yeah, like, go out and check it out.
Don't say there's nothing to do in Des Moines if you're here.
Yo, you can't say that anymore. That shit is dead.
It's not like it was. Yo, when we were
that shit is super dead. In matter of fact, sidebar, quick shout out. Shout out to Rich Randall and the folks of Culture Shock, Illis Around. I know niggas is broke right now, but man, they had a sneaker boutique and just vintage clothes and art. And that's something that I know that I see personally. I would like to see myself at.
Yeah, I need to be in there next year.
I've been to Iowa Soul, and I know Culture Shock is something on a different stretch. But I was really upset that I didn't get to go because, like, I knew I didn't have the cash to be in there, and I didn't want to look
you
around.
Went to your wife for yesterday.
Nah, I mean, honestly, I had to go do that too. But I mean. I had to, you know,
it's an inside joke, folks.
I had to keep that money going. I don't have the money, so
I feel you.
I could be broke with my white friends. They don't look at me funny if I say I don't have any money.
That's a first. But I wanted to say that, like, seeing him. So he performed the entire album live,
and that's dope.
Which was like. Again, artistically and creatively, like, that's ambitious. You know what I mean? To say, like, I just did this body of work, and now I'm going to perform it live for you.
Oh.
Not just the cuts, not just the singles, not just the ones you might know, and the whatever.
Oh.
But, like, to just swing for it. And the thing is, because I'll say this, he also has some other songs out.
Yeah.
You know, he dropped the Jazz Poetry Sessions. It was his first release with Station One. He's got a single called Escape.
Somebody fell.
Right.
I heard this dump, like, just got dusty.
But to choose to not do any of the other work and to focus on doing the album from top to bottom and represent that work, he performed with a ferocity and a focus and a clarity that has the consistency of the album.
Yeah, and that's special for
that's a lot. Hard to pull off for hip hop. Because, like, even the best out here. You know, the biggest and brightest stars, garbage life.
Yeah.
Or at least you can't even understand what's going on.
And also, props to him on the fitness tip, because hip-hop is hard on a cardio level.
Yo, you got to have that win.
Right, because especially if you're, like, really dropping any kind of bars. To be able to have that breath control to perform it live, song after song, props to you.
Facts.
Yeah, so basically to go in for 40-plus minutes.
Yeah.
And those cadences, those switch-ups, the beat just keeps coming and firing
plus
off.
Plus, it goes to show you how much this
emotionally,
is your baby.
Like, you also have to understand, emotionally, to go to those spaces and to perform that. Mm-hmm. Bruh.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
that's a
no,
heavy-ass album, to go and perform.
Right.
Man. And, I mean, it is his truth and his whole light in the sense, like, I mean, from listening to it, he's telling you, you know, this is my life in these bars, you know, I'm giving you the real.
That's the Midwest, come test.
Yeah, there's nothing false in it.
I want to speak on that real quick when we get a chance.
Yeah, so running from that, just like seeing him run on top of that, going and doing that, putting those bars out like that, whew. I couldn't imagine going and being in the sense of performing that constantly. I would try to get through that album and rush.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's extremely good.
Mm-hmm. So you quoted his post about best bars in the Midwest.
Yeah.
It's an open challenge, and he meant that.
Yeah.
He has spoken openly, and this is a call out
next week. I wanted to pull up.
So, I just now seen.
So here's a call out to anybody that might know some rappers or some rappers that might listen to this on the low key, because I know some of these niggas are in their feelings.
Right.
Because how can you claim you the best? Like, you don't even know who's out here. Blah 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 blah. Blah. Part of being the best is making that claim. If you're not swinging for defenses to be in that top spot, sit down. And it's not his job to go find you. you got to go step up to him if you want to put him in his place. And
look at any kung fu movie ever. The sensei doesn't go out searching for the scrubs. He sits at the top of the stairs and waits for them to come down.
Right.
So
you want to go to the temple? You want to go climb the mountain?
Take
go climb the mountain. Go see Andre Davis and see if you can spit with the best.
Now, just because I gotta stay impartial.
Yeah, go for it.
One thing, and Andre, I'll say this to you, face homie, you know, I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah.
One thing I do think that he needs some help with, and I think you got two people sitting at this table that can help you out, are hooks. It's because, like, your verses are so heavy, they're so content heavy.
Sure.
That the hooks, I feel like, are almost unnecessary in the sense that just keep going with the bars, bro. Like, you don't need to just drop that in there.
Yeah.
Like,
I can't help but wonder if that's something that's coming from the label to say, like, oh, it needs a hook.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you'll appreciate this. This album actually reminds me of Lupe Fiasco.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got a real, like, Lupe kind of thing. And what was so cool about Lupe was that his whole thing was, like, the narrative of, they're telling me to dumb my shit down.
Right.
To sell it.
Yeah.
But that's a legitimate concern in a conversation. When you've got all this brilliance, you still have the executive side that's like, but we got to sell records, and we need something that's going to be that hook that people are going to chant and sing along to, and be the thesis of this song.
Right.
So I can understand there might be that conflict
creatively where it's like... Yeah, I understand the necessity of it. I'm just saying, going forward, bruh, you're lyrically talented enough where you can outsource that shit. Pass that off to somebody else.
Who sings hooks.
Or writes really catchy stuff rather than really heavy stuff. It just seems... It seems... Some of the hooks seem forced compared to the rest of the content that you were dropping in the songs.
That's a nice little challenge.
Yeah. I would just like to say that... the Lupe Fiasco comparison kind of just made me laugh. I think Andre is more present state than Lupe was in the comparison of where you're placing him, because when you're placing Lupe and Andre in the place that you're placing him, Lupe was almost three albums in.
Yeah.
So... In the comparison of that...
Wait, which Lupe are we talking about? Because I could very much see how this could come off of, like...
Well, I mean, like I said...
Album, like, Food and Liquor.
Yeah, Food and Liquor. That's where my head kind of went.
Food and Liquor, that's... No, the second album was the Cool. Food and Liquor is the first.
Yeah,
the second
right.
is
I'm
the
sorry,
Cool.
That's what I meant. And he doesn't... Hip-Hop Saved My Life, which is the Cool.
Yeah. Now, I would take the cool vibe, but I wouldn't take Dumb It Down, because Dumb It Down would be the third, and by the third, it wasn't...
But he was even still talking about that on earlier ones, the fact that he needed to have something more commercially viable in order for him to
get. And I don't feel that this is commercially viable. I feel like this is...
But I mean, that's his point. Like, he doesn't need to be commercially viable. I'm saying that maybe the labels came through and said, hey, you got to put a hook on this so there's something that people can sing along to.
Or a producer or whatever.
Because your average bear ain't going to be able to go bar for bar on this album.
Because the thing is, to be honest, you know, there is a machine.
Yeah.
He has to go to these sessions. He has to work with these producers. He has to work with his label, and so there is the stuff that we don't see that on how this gets made.
Yeah.
You know, how many verses got cut, how much tracking got cut back, or rewrites that came through, or any of that kind of stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, there might be some behind the scenes stuff that we just might not know about, which is kind of cool, kind of exciting, also kind of frustrating, but. Yeah, I would say if I were to have any criticism, like to say to keep it impartial and keep it honest. There was a part of me that wishes that there were just a couple of change ups in the vibe.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not necessarily in the storytelling, but just that, like,
flip it into a bridge with, like, a different sound.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just, like, on the musical arrangement side, I wish that there was maybe some deeper musicianship to match the level of artistry that's being brought in to really to sonically contextualize the thing so the song embodies the message.
That's exactly what I mean where I say that his bars outshine the production level on it in the sense that, like, I feel like if you had maybe somebody with a deeper sense
of that 90s hip hop, because that's really when that shit started. I mean, like, yeah. when you go back to the old hip hop, where they would take one break beat, flip it into another one to completely change up the sound of the song while still keeping the same context of it.
Yeah.
I think that that could have, like, really, like, made this shit blossom.
Yeah.
But I think the big point of the politics is what the thing, I think that really makes sense of what he's saying. When you're dealing with labels, and I'm not sending shots. I just know that, you know, when you're dealing with certain people, you might not have a full keen eye into the locals as much as you would like to have into the locals, especially when you're dealing with certain locals and they get names and they might have a rep for themselves where they're not able to maybe get you into that place where they would want you. I could see Andre Davis messing with a lot of producers, a lot of local producers in Des Moines, and really, really turning it around into the sense of making something.
I don't think they made a local album by
any means. And it's not a local.
Something that could stand on its own two feet.
Well, here's the thing. Market. You made a comparison to Nas, and I think this is what made, like, Illmatic partially, like, the biggest classic that it is.
Yeah.
Is that he was able to bring the who's who on the production side
yeah.
all to the table for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, what was so groundbreaking about that album was that, like, he went and curated and said, I want to work with this one and this one and this one and this one. And no, at that time, no hip-hop artist had that kind of, like, grand vision yeah. to bring the who's who of the New York scene to the table. Exactly.
Yeah.
And to say, I want the best, and I want their best tracks
yeah.
for me to then bring my best work, made
really,
his work.
Open the door for producers in general.
Right.
All of a sudden, you have these beat makers who are able to shop around their stuff.
Exactly. It was a game changer on the business end, but I think that was also what was so brilliant about it, was really like an all-star squad coming in, and everyone's like just dak. Everyone's shooting every shot,
but
right?
But then at the same time, you also have to realize that those guys were all from the same city.
Sure.
In the same borough.
Right.
I guess the same agenda.
I was just making the reference that you were talking about finding
yeah.
those producers
and
to
I
come
mean,
in and
yeah,
start to really curate
that.
a bigger picture.
And I see, I don't feel it like that. And I understand that in the bigger picture, but what I mean is that you're at this point where you're able to locally pick, and you're in a place where you can locally pick and choose if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
There's people out here that are aligned to what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in-house, that it has to stay in-house, understood.
Yep.
If there's budgets and things that come inside of that matter, then understood.
Right.
I feel that with a local label, a local company, working with local people, getting you a sound that can spread at a national level or a worldwide level is, I think, really the move right now. Because you've got these people, it's saturated. Like, there's so much people, so many options to do so much, and I see the whole thing, this whole thing of our unity and why we can't do this together, or why everyone is all crabs in a barrel, or it's all every man for himself. We really should be right next to each other to be like, oh, you're boom bap, you got this,
how to synergize,
that's your site.
How to synergize.
Move over
yeah,
here
yeah.
Or you got this dude, Andre's hot with so and so, and this producer is here. Oh, Madison and Larry, they do work together real nice, but they need to go work with Church and put Church on the track and let them smack some shit together. Like, it should be this way, but at the same time, I understand why it's not.
Yeah.
I see him in a grand picture of being able to pick with people that he could really expand the art and his message rapidly and faster.
So one last thing before we have to take it home.
Yeah.
I had a good chance to talk to him real quick
yeah.
Before the show, and he told me to put out into the world, they might drop one more visual based on what song on Spotify does the best. It's up to the fans and the listeners and whoever's vibing with what he's doing. Whatever has the biggest numbers, they'll drop one more visual for.
That's dope.
So the challenge that's out is, if there's something that you're vibing with and you want to see more, or you want to see blossom into another piece of work,
yeah.
go find that song that you love the most. Go play it. Go share it. Do that thing. Just to see what really has the people's ear.
Yeah.
Let the people decide what they want to see next.
Nice.
So, yeah. So shout out to Andre. Shout out to Station One, Toby, Tom. Congratulations on the release.
Yeah, congratulations to you guys. Yeah. Solid work.
Let's take it home.
Yeah.
Way to go, Des Moines.
Yeah, thank you, Dano, for coming and sit with us tonight.
Man, glad to be here. Yeah. Always a pleasure.
Long story short, honestly, go listen to both of these. Learn from my mistake. Listen to Andre first. let him ground you in some real deal, real life type shit.
Yeah.
And then go ahead and listen to Chance. Because, I mean, even with as much mediocrity as there is on the album, overall, it's still a very feel-good album.
Yes.
It's something that you can put on in the car, drive down the street, and vibe to.
Facts.
Whereas Andre is the one where if you're going through some shit, you want to listen to it and like, yeah,
have we got a meditative work to do.
It's motivational in that
have
sense.
Have a meditative state with Andre.
Right. There's more work that we all could do to better our surroundings and the people in our lives. So yeah, for me, solid 8.5 to 9 out of 10. Shout out to you, sir. I look forward to what you have coming in the future and hearing more from it. So yeah, we want to thank y'all for joining us. Thank you, Dano. Thank y'all for listening. Shout out to our sponsors.
Android DSM, Power Up.
And Susie Sweet Treats, Secret Greeting is Love.
Not cocaine.
I don't think we're doing a show next week because I'll be out of town.
Okay.
I'll be
in
Colorado on a mountain. So
Rodney.
A new little temple.
Right.
best bars in Colorado. Come
exactly. I'm going to write some shit just for it. So we'll catch y'all in 2 weeks at the same black time. Same black channel. All right, y'all. Peace.
Peace.